Welcome to the Building Manager Podcast. My name is Matt Osborne. Again, just would like to say a big thank you to everyone who's been supporting of the show. Received a number of phone calls and emails from people. Very excited to get the message about the building management industry out there to people. It's something that may be known to people, but really does need the recognition that I hope to be getting to the building managers and the industry out there. Today on the show, we've got a fellow by the name of Paul Mann. Paul started a business cleaning bins some time ago and over a number of years has developed his business into what it is today. I won't say exactly how that's going right now, but I'm sure if you take a listen to the podcast, you'll get some great information and insights into Paul's business and what he does, not only for building managers, but for the environment. And I look forward to receiving any emails or correspondence after the podcast. You can send them to me, matt@elitebma.com, and I'd be more than happy to respond to your questions. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the Building Manager Podcast, Paul. Good to have you on the show.
My pleasure, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
No worries at all. Paul, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us how you came to start the business of WBCM Environment Australia.
No, lovely. Thank you very much. There is a long story, but I'll shut it down as quick as I can or get it as bullet point as I can. My name's Paul Mann, and our company is WBCM Environmental, originally called Wheelie Bin Cleaning Man. But 3 years ago, we decided to make this a professional and a best company we possibly can. So we changed the name to suit ourselves. Look, to start with the original thought when I first came in, I lived in a townhouse. And we had a wheelie bin in our garage, and I had a car that I was working on. My grandfather left me. It was the only place that I had my own little area. And we had a cat, and the bins kept smelling all the time in that little area. And why wouldn't someone clean a bin? Look at the opportunity. Every household's got one.
Yep.
So it took me about 3 months before I found someone, and because of that stage, about 18 years ago, we were in water restrictions, so you couldn't just hose down your wheelie bin and put it down the storm water because every odds and evens were having the water and we didn't want to waste it. So in that, I finally got onto someone. He came round, I looked at it and I've gone, oh, that's a good idea. And from there, basically started looking at the opportunity to do bin cleaning. I wanted to do something different to what I was doing at that stage. I had a comfortable job. It didn't have any challenges for me, and you only live once. So we thought, well, let's get into the bin cleaning business and started making up a bin cleaning. And I thought I'd be doing three houses a street and be living in the Bahamas by now, but that actually didn't happen because not everyone knew about bin cleaning. And the one thing about it is we've found out that the bin cleaning unit is one thing, it's getting customers a second. So over the next 18 years, we had a mantra of cleaning with fresh water. Everywhere we looked at around the world was recycled water. And all the studies I've found out that is, if you're not actually recycling the water through a waste plant, then you're going to have bacteria still in it. So we went to fresh water, which we went to Melbourne Water, and they said, yep, you can have fresh water. You retain the water, we put it down the trade waste agreement down the sewer, that goes back to Melbourne Water, they recycle it and reuse it. So that's basically how I started, and 18 years, a lot of mistakes. Went to the residential, found out it's very hard to get to every residential. So then we looked at the commercial side of it, restaurants. One of the first jobs we got was the Melbourne Zoo.
Oh, wow.
So that sort of kicked us off. That kicked us off because, again, the people who were doing it last time were doing recycled water. At the end result is we went from there. We worked out better ways of doing bigger bins, compactors. Then we moved into waste chutes, waste chute cleaning and high-rise cleaning for our trucks. So we made all our trucks 2.1 metres so we can go inside the buildings to actually clean, so you don't have to bring the bins outside and put them into the public area. And now we've got six trucks on the road. Seventh one's getting built now, and two waste chute cleaning vans and a urinal cleaning van. We fell into the urinal cleaning because of waterless urinals. We're doing that the right way, and we're doing places like Chadston and a lot of shopping centres, the vicinity shopping centres. So it's come a long way since I first started. So it's now up and it has. And we're trying to do it the right way. We're trying to build a best practice and logical way of doing things. So
Geez, I hope you didn't fall into the urinal. That's one thing for sure, Paul.
No, I had to do that myself first time and learn by it. And geez, the smells weren't that good. But the reason why we got the job at Chadston is we proved that their toilets don't have to smell. We did it the right way, and then after 2 days of us doing it, there was absolutely no smell in the toilet. So that got us into doing the vicinity sites, and we've been doing them for about 5 years now. So
Very nice. Paul, you mentioned earlier about water, and obviously there are some environmental requirements dictated in legislation, I hope, for the use and dispersal of water. How are you finding this impacting the business, if at all?
It is. It's impacting the business because really there's no regulations. The rules are there. The EPA have a rule of not using reclaimed water unless it's been sitting in a pond for 28 days and is measured by the bacteria level. A lot of studies overseas and in Australia is a lot of people are using recycled water on a truck. So it's basically going through a filtering system from about 200-300 litres of water going through the system and then reusing it on another bin, which to me is illogical, and you can't get rid of all the bacteria. We have a couple of letters and recommendations from the VWMA and the EPA, which took me about 10 years to get, saying that the best practice is using fresh water, retain the water, and what we do is the best practice because of the hygiene levels, also the environment and the staff that work on them. You don't want to be cleaning, a bin that's cleaned could be up to 3,000, 30,000, 300,000 bins prior, and they're cleaning bins with that dirty water. So we use fresh water, heated water. And that's what I'm fighting against, because 99% of all bin cleaners out there are doing it with recycled water. Ours is a lot more expensive to do, a lot more research and development, a lot more IP in what we do, because it's different. And we're doing well because we're proving to our customers that this is the right way of doing it. Would help a lot more if the laws that are out there are abided to. It used to be a hobby job where a kid would walk down the street, hose down the bin, put it down the stormwater, and then they've cleaned the bin for $5. But that stormwater, that waste is going into the stormwater, going into our bay, and it's not good for the environment. So we've been fighting for nearly 18 years to sort of say that best practice is fresh water. So we've got recommendation letters, but not a law, which is there. So what we've just gone through is probably something to look at in the overall of hygiene. We need to look at hygiene a bit better than what we have. Yeah. And especially in bin cleaning, more restaurants now, we're getting a lot. We've got an amazing amount of opportunities coming to us when we come out of lockdown that's been created by COVID, because I think people have now realised, and you would know after your previous life of my pitch to you is about selling the freshwater angle. You agreed to it, or you understood it, which was great. Now I think more people are understanding the better practice of cleaning a bin is by cleaning it with fresh water and hygienically cleaning it, so it doesn't spread the bacteria and the odour that's in the bin. So
definitely.
That's where we're heading to. We don't want to be surprised when we get older and make sure that we're doing everything right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a must. So building managers out there who are doing your own cleans and just having it washed down the drains in the car park or whatever it is, so I urge you, please don't do it. Reach out to Paul, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. I know, Paul, that one of your duties, I guess, is cleaning bin chutes, and I know how much you love it, don't we all, as building managers?
Yeah.
You know, I've witnessed firsthand, and I know you have, where occupants have thrown the likes of ironing boards, a single mattress, couch cushions, TV, goodness knows what else. And yes, people, they have gone down bin chutes, believe you me. What repercussions are there for misuse of bin chutes? And are building managers or owners' corporations and strata companies out there giving options to residents for the removal of these items, Paul?
Yeah, well, the strangest thing, just going on what your strangest thing is at going down there, the strangest thing I've seen is the Harley motorbike down and put into a waste chute. And when we came down there to unblock it, there was a handlebar stuck in the high rise.
Oh,
and that surprised me. But where we're sort of saying now, we've just developed a new waste chute cleaner with a camera. The reason why I have the camera is, firstly, we can see what we can clean. That's the first thing. Majority of waste chute cleaners out there chuck a whirly-whirly down there and they just spray and then they can't see what they clean because there's no footage of there. So even for an example, last week we went out and done our testing of this and we found a bit of wood stuck between a join of a waste chute, which caused a lot of blockages. Yeah. It caused a lot of waste to actually go through into the inner door of the waste chute, which is causing odour.
Yep.
Yeah, in the bin chute. And the consequences are that what I've been trying to work with for a long time is if your chutes are not cleaned on a regular basis, then with the changes, what's happening, like the rules haven't changed for 15 years in high rise in waste management of a high rise. So, but the environment has. The Airbnb's just come in. Uber Eats has come in, the less plastic bags have come in, and most importantly, what we've just gone through is a COVID situation. So what we're trying to say is the consequence of not having your bins cleaned is odour. There's a flammable grease and fats that are going to go onto the sides of your walls of your chutes.
Yep.
We've had a lot of fires in waste chutes, and when you think about it, it's like a big chimney.
Yes.
A couple of things that we've noticed over the time that I've been doing this, because we see a lot of the internals of waste chutes because we clean them and we inspect them, is that when they're really dirty and a fire happens, because all you need to do is a little ash going down the waste chute, it going into a receptacle, which is a bin that's full of flammable paper and plastics and all that. A couple of things is, fans are not working, and everyone thinks the fans are used to get rid of the odour, actually get rid of the smoke.
Yep.
The doors on the waste chutes are meant to be, the only rule they have got is that they're meant to be self-closing. Well, every time we go out there, there's one or two that's not self-closing.
But the doors also are meant to be fireproofed, are they not? Is there not meant to be some sort of fireproofing around the outside of those door frames? And I've often seen and been able, I'm sure you've seen as well, where the frames are completely off the walls, you know? Sorry to interrupt.
Exactly. No. I'm another person who's seen what I've seen and what we've seen is basically what it is it's a waste chute that has the ability to have fires, odours, hygiene, and it's in the middle of a building.
Yep.
And the one thing about it is you can walk through a door, open up a waste chute, throw anything down there, and people don't know where it goes to, and it goes into a bin, simply. But what it is, it's like a big chimney. So if a fire happens, where does it go? If the doors aren't self-closing, then basically the smoke will come out to the levels with no ventilation. We haven't thought too much about the internals of a high-rise. The bottom line is I have talked to the insurance companies, and insurance companies have spoken to me, and they find it astonishing that it's not a law because there's so many variables of what can happen, consequences of what can happen. And unfortunately, with the building managers, they're sort of hands stuck between their arms because they've got to basically go to the committee and go, this is a want, not a need, this is a want. Yeah. But we want it because your residents are complaining about odour and the conditions of the waste chutes, but it's also a want when it should be a need. So sprinklers inside waste chutes. We've seen them 2 days after they're inspected, that they're covered in vacuum dust. Now, there's no way that could work. And then the fans are not working. So why are they in the waste chutes if they're not regulated, they're not monitored, they're not maintained? And that's part of the drive we're trying to push to them, is think about the logic of a waste chute and what it does and what the consequences can do if you don't look after it. So we've invested into a lot of, in our waste chutes, we've invested a lot of money into getting a waste chute so a building manager can feel comfortable that when it's cleaned, they've got vision of it, they've got vision internally, there's waste chutes that we've seen that are cracked, that are leaving water going into the inside of it. They would never know because they don't look in the waste chute. So
we've
got a hole in them, which we all know there's a few of them out there at the moment, and that puts a lot of pressure on the building manager because of the chain of responsibility. They are responsible for the hygiene and the running of the apartment building with people living in there, and we're not having any regulations on a waste chute. It surprised me.
Well, look, one thing you just mentioned there a minute ago, Paul, was waste management, and I know it's dear to your heart, and I see these waste management plans that go to the councils. Obviously, it's got to be done when you're first getting a building up. But for me, I don't think I've ever seen anything in there around the cleaning of bin chutes, the maintaining of the chutes, instructions for people on how to use them, recommendations or regulations around people putting things incorrectly or fire starting, like you've mentioned. It really does need to be in a waste management plan for a high rise where it's got a chute. And it's got to go there. I don't think there's really an option.
Well, that's what we've been working with. We've been working with the auditors, and they've agreed with us, but again, it's a recommendation at the end of their thing. If you want this done, you can contact. And that's the thing that shouldn't be an option. It should be regulation. If you've got regulations for 2,000 things in a building that they've got to do, and one of them's not a waste chute, as I said before, with all the differences that have happened in high-rise living, Airbnb, well, a person comes in for a night, they don't have any conscience of how a waste, probably never, might not have ever been in a high-rise apartment before, and doing it for I've never done this before, I'll Airbnb into this, and then all of a sudden, I'll get takeaways, or I'll get the, and then I'll chuck everything down the waste chute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, would they automatically close the door? No, they wouldn't, because they wouldn't know.
Yeah, look, what you're sort of briefed on odours penetrating into foyers and whatnot. What sort of discussions have you been having then with building managers around bin chute rooms in particular and the penetrating odours? Mm-hmm. You also mentioned there about the fans, Paul. I know their job is really to push, smoke up, but, in the end it's not designed to push an odour through. So what sort of discussions are you having around bin chute rooms? And like you, I've seen them, they're massive, particularly when you're talking about, 400 or 500 in one particular building.
Yeah, well, this is where we're getting a lot of our business from, is when we get building managers have complaints from their residents of waste odours and the conditions of the waste chutes, because they use them nearly every day. Most of the residents open up a bin chute, they go, oh, that's terrible, that smells terrible, because it's coming from a waste room, which might have 20, 30 bins in them, with all the residents' different types of rubbish going into it. And all we're doing is just putting them to the side and then getting them emptied. And when they wash them down, they wash them down with water. They're plastic. They'll hold all the odour in them. So what we recommend to them is there's a maintenance plan. There's three parts of high rise to get rid of the odour. It's clean the bins, clean the waste chutes, and have a proper odour controlling system in there that actually works. So in saying that, we've always, and you've been a part of this too, we've always looked at how to do odour control differently to just a spray unit and replace the... we're not masking the smell, because what we've designed is a machine that actually doesn't smell. So it if there's no smell, there's no masking of any smell. So what it does is gets rid of the bacteria in the odour by reducing the moisture. We're actually designing one now that's going to be world first, which I'm very excited about.
It's
going to be probiotics that are coming out of a misting system that we've been trialling for now 18 months. And what that does is remove the odour, but also hygienes the area and gives the ability to protect it from, has its own immune system, like we do with it when we have probiotics for our body. We're protecting our body from the outside sources and bad bacteria, because a disinfectant will get rid of 99% of all bacteria when 87% of all bacteria are good. They're there to help us. So what a probiotic does is, this probiotic from Belgium, which is the biggest probiotic company in the world, is basically they put a probiotic so it goes to the walls of the shoot and actually protects it from the bad bacteria, because bacteria only eat bacteria. So we've designed that in a lemon fragrance, which you can't usually put a fragrance in it because it will kill the bacteria.
Right.
But this lemon fragrance is going to be going into waste shoots and get rid of the odour, protect the hygiene of it. And basically we're going to, if you clean the bins, you clean the chutes, and you do that on a regular basis, we've got high rises that have gone from really smelly to no smell at all, and they just go, keep coming back. Just keep coming back. So we don't have contracts. We just say we don't want to give them a reason to leave, and we've got a very good reason for them to stay if they've got no odours.
Yeah, brilliant. You heard it first here on the Building Manager podcast. We've got a world first being developed by Paul Mann and his company, WBCM Environment Australia. I'm looking forward to seeing the progress on this, Paul, and perhaps we'll get you back on the show when it's ready to rock and roll. I'd really love you to talk about this particular product, mate.
We'd love to, mate.
What's the relevance of, having discussions with shoot companies and the use of odour systems, because this really needs to be legislated, or at least have body corporate rules embedded into these high-rise complexes so that everyone abides by them? Because I don't believe that I've seen one rule in places where I've been that has any regulations and rules around the cleaning and the odours and so forth for bin shoots. I guess you could take the cleaning regulation for the entire building, but there's not anything specific about bin shoots. So if I've confused you there, mate, so what discussions have you been aware of around legislation, or at least having body corporate rules, if anything?
Well, yeah, I have, and it's something that I see every day. And we've talked to the VWMA, we're part of the association there, and the FMA, we're now talking with them. I'm on the committee of the residential high rises, which they're a good group of people. They're trying their best. There's unreal circumstances at the moment. The whole concept of it is, what's the rules and odour control? Well, have a look at the MSDS. We've studied the MSDSs. And a lot of the odour control into toilets, for example, the spray units are harsh chemicals and highly flammable. Yep. Then we see other sorts of odour control in high rises, which are, again, highly flammable, can cause breathing problems. Now, that's on their MSDS. That's there on their own MSDS. I look at that and I go, odour's not that complicated. And I keep saying this to people, it's not that complicated. Take the moisture out of the odour, it gets rid of the odour. Initially, if you can excuse my metaphor of this, is wet dog poo turning into dry dog poo. The wet dog poo smells, the dry dog poo doesn't. That's because all the moisture is taken out of it. That means the bacteria live on moisture. If that's not there, then they don't live. It's not complicated, but what we're doing is we're conveniently putting sprays out there that have a nice lavender smell. And the concept of that is that the underlying problem of that odour is still there. And what you're spraying out, if we look at the MSDSs of most of these odour controlling units that we have, they say that there's a hazardous chemical. It's flammable. And I'm telling you one thing now is, I would hate to have a flammable spray coming out in a high rise that's just had problems with outside cladding. That would danger me. And everything we use, non-flammable, non-toxic, non-harsh chemicals, and it's made from earths and minerals. The reason is it's absorbent. And yep. With the probiotics, well, probiotics don't have any after effect. It is a good bacteria. It's actually good for you. So that will then get rid of the smell and the odor. So the legislation, I think it's simple in a way. Someone's got to come up with, there's rules and regulations of hygiene in high rises. That's it. As simple as that. Talk to the people who it affects. Talk to the people who can solve it. And there's a problem. Here's a solution. Now, that's where we set standards. If we set standards, then at the end result is we create standards. And if we create standards, we create a better living environment. I believe there's going to be more high-rise living. If you look at the data from the last 15 years, high-rise living has gone up, but we're building high-rises, as you said before, with a waste plan that doesn't include the hygiene and maintenance of a waste chute.
No.
Which and the waste system. It doesn't make any sense. It's like having a wheelie bin in your house. You would have that cleaned. You would have that maintained. You would make sure that that's not smelling. But we don't do that for waste chutes, which surprises me.
Yeah, it's beyond me too. And things have got to change. And I'm not just talking about this from personal experience, but I'm talking about it from running these buildings as building managers and the responsibilities that are given back to us when people start saying to us, oh, this stinks, that stinks. And, you know, okay, great, but let's put some things in action. Make it legislated so that we don't get these issues coming around. But we also, at the same time, Paul, don't want cowboys getting out there on the market, putting stuff in there that is, let's face it, going to cause more problems than what they're worth. So I've got some great information there that you've just discussed with us. But, Paul, I really want to thank you for joining the Building Manager podcast today. And I can speak from experience here, listeners, on the quality of the services provided by Paul and his team at WBCM Environment Australia. Paul, how can our listeners reach you? And are you able to provide samples to strata managers and building managers? How are we looking there?
Yeah, no, great. My father always told me you can't sell something that doesn't work. So what we do with people, we give them samples of what we do, our odor control. We explain how we work in our business. We make all our decisions on logic, facts and numbers because they don't lie. We like to be able to recommend what we do and why we do it to the building managers. We can be contacted at the office at 1300 800 621, or our website is WBCM-OST, short for Australia. And that you go into that website and we will have all the details of what we have. You can contact me on as that office number. More than happy to talk to you. I've got some staff here that are all great people, just really great people. They're invested into how we do things. They're all got part of the decision making in this business and how we do it. Basically, what we want to do to the building managers, we have a solution for them. And if people out there have used this before, they'll understand that we build our reputation on customer service. We don't usually have contracts because we don't want to give you a reason to leave. Mm-hmm. But again, what we're trying to do now is change for the better for the people that live in high rises. Again, Melbourne's been hit pretty hard, very hard. I live in Melbourne. Growing up in Melbourne, and from being the livable city to the lockdown city is offensive to me. And what we want to do now is make sure when we reopen, we do things the right way. And we want to be able to get high rises where people can go into a high rise and feel comfortable of their living environment. So again, our number is 1300 800 621. Or go to our website, WBCM Environment Australia.
That's great, Paul. I think we've hit on something there, and I'm really keen to get some other people onto the show to talk about some of this legislation, and I'm sure that we can make it happen. Whether it takes 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever it is, it's certainly well overdue. Paul, man, thanks very much once again. Listeners, Paul, again, he's the owner of WBCM Environment Australia. He's left his details there. Reach out to him. Paul, you're doing a great service for the industry, and appreciate you being on the show and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Look, again, thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure, and yeah, you're doing a great job out there highlighting the fact that maybe the voice of the building managers is you. So well done to you, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Thanks, Take care. Bye for now.
Bye now.
Wow, what an episode, and a big thank you to Paul Mann from EBCM Environment Australia for sharing his story and how he's developed the business so far over these 18 years. Paul really has taken cleaning to new heights, pardon the pun, for bin chute cleaning, and not only for odorizers and machines and the like. Paul has some great insights to share, as you've just heard. But what some exciting news to hear about this world first that Paul's going to be bringing out very, very soon. So keep your ears peeled, and we'll get Paul back on the show when he's ready to get this distributed. So once again, thanks everyone for listening to the Building Manager Podcast. Again, if you'd like to sponsor the show or send some information, you can do so through my email address, which is matt@elitebma.com, or you can jump onto the website, elitebma.com, and find the corresponding phone number or email on that website. Thanks once again to everyone listening to the show. Big shout out to your building managers out there, again, keeping everyone safe and doing a marvellous job. Thanks very much for your support. I look forward to speaking to you all once again next Tuesday. In the meantime, it's farewell from the Building Manager Podcast. My name's Matt Osborne. You all take care now. Bye-bye.